Let's go ahead and see what we have today in talking about the abundance of God. We have an abundance with God, and we have lack and want without Him. That's standard understanding that is interwoven through all of the Scriptures. Very, very powerful. And in that abundance, now it doesn't mean you're going to be, I like this little thing, this is the happy pill. And it's, is that what it is? The happy pill. Squeeze as many times as needed, reduces stress, enhances the immune system, increases blood flow, stimulates physical healing, enhances creativity, and improves muscle tone. Side effects: excessive happiness, contagious laughter, accompanied with a sore stomach and tears. And this is what we really need to have in mind. That is so precious. A little baby laughing. Now, not too many people cannot smile, and everyone in here was smiling. I mean, because what do we picture when we hear that baby laughing? The most precious, innocent, sweetest little things, just that need our love and our care. They're so dependent on everyone, and they bring you so much more than you could ever give them. It's just wonderful. And then life happens and people grow up and get nasty, you know? It just, what's going on? But in the abundance of God, that cycle can be stopped. And that sweetness of infancy and childhood can remain if you remain a child of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you laugh in the face of seriousness. God said to laugh with those who laugh, but He also said to mourn with those who mourn. And in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, it talks about there's a time for everything. So God's a God of order. He doesn't tell us to just go through life, oh, well, what the heck, house burned down, we'll live in the car. No, it's not that kind of crummy attitude. It's a matter of being at the feet of the Lord, living at the feet of the Lord, being in communion with Him in prayer. And prayer always, remember, is not just asking for something. It's getting into the presence of God. You become like what you hang around. So He says, pray without ceasing. There's a good reason. Now, I stepped out when I did that, when I kicked the blower yesterday. I kind of stepped out a little bit from the umbrella there, you know, but I was quick to go, what am I doing? This is foolishness. This is anger. This is sin. Forgive me, God. And not go through the litany of excuses why it was justifiable. It's never justifiable. But we need to be like a little child, not childish, whiny, cry, and not understanding responsibilities. God said childlike. And we can remain childlike if we understand His abundance. I mean, kids wake up, they don't say, wow, I wonder if Mom paid the mortgage. I wonder if Dad's going to take care of the toilet that's leaking. I mean, they don't think of that. They just wake up, and what do they have? God willing, someone loving them and holding them. I hear a carrion go in to little Adeline's room every morning, and I hear her in the most glorious, bright voice, even though she has the weight of the world on her shoulders sometimes with her unique situation, her family situation. I hear her go in and go, good morning. And she's not faking it. She's alive. She's one with her little girl. And she tells her, she said, today is Tuesday. Look, it's a beautiful day the Lord has made. You know, just, she gives us, there's a spiritual encouragement from the day the little girl wakes up. And she's cared for by those who do love her and do continue with that message. And what a blessing. In abundance. So before our very eyes we can see. We don't lose the abundance of God, but we can put it down. We can set it aside and look at the mess we're in instead of the things that God is talking about. Now, our spiritual abundance is much more important. It is the most important thing rather than our physical abundance. When we start getting that scale straightened out and understand where the weight of things are, then we're going to be much, much better off. Abundance and plenty are mentioned throughout the Scripture. So my question to you is, so what are you crying about? Are you crying because you can't go for 2 weeks vacation but only one? Are you crying because you have to eat out only once a week instead of four? Or maybe it's even more serious, as you're in foreclosure for your home and you can't sell it. Or because you've just lost your job and all your bills are due. I still ask you, what are you crying about? It sounds strange to the natural nature to even ask those questions, because the natural nature already screams out the answer. I'm crying because I'm scared to death of what's going to happen. Don't be scared. Stay close to the Lord before your catastrophe, in your tragedy, and after the storm, because we have abundance in God. We have abundance in God. That word abundance, very, very powerful. Now you have a handout, anyone that's listening in on the audio, there's a handout that is attached, so you can go ahead and look at that. But when God talks about abundance in God, when I went and looked up some of the original meanings in the Greek and in the Hebrew, because see, in translating... Oh, the handouts. I'm sorry. I didn't give the handouts. Thank you very much. There you go. Everyone's looking at me with a puzzle look. Now, if you look on your handout, what handout? There it is. It's coming up. We're going to talk about abundant joys, abundant life, abundant grace, abundant power, abundant supplies, abundant entrance into the salvation of the Lord. I didn't see anywhere in the list it was abundant memory, so we got to kind of work on that one. Got to kind of call out for that one. But you'll see that the word abundance, and I just wanted to really let you know that when you translate from one language to another, the term is you lose a little in the translation. And the word abundant means something to us in the English language. Helen, what would the word abundant be in Spanish?
Abundancia.
Abundancia. Okay. Abundancia. So in the language, when someone in Spanish hears abundancia, and then when we hear abundant, we kind of get a picture. We understand. We have a cognizant understanding of what our language means to us. But it's even fuller sometimes than what one language can bring to the other. So if you look, in the original Greek and the Hebrew, sometimes when the word... It's in the Greek here, the abundance in God. It talks about, the word is hadrotes, and it means thick. Boy, see, you know, this tells me more than just abundant. Thick, fat, full grown. Now, some of us can portray that physically here. Thick, fat, and full grown. We can portray the abundance of God. But those words just really did something to me. The abundance of God is thick, fat, full-grown. It's not something little that needs to grow more. It's something that's already full-grown. It's complete already. There's another word that you'll see sometimes, and that's parousia. And that means an exceeding measure, something above the ordinary, overflowing. Wow, above the ordinary. We have to key in on that, because we lead lives that don't live in the supernatural, so to speak. We don't see all the spiritual world. We have to seek God to have His revelation, to have His understanding. We're not born with that. It's the process that occurs on the journey. And as we get away from the Adam nature, and as we crucify that flesh, and we have the Spirit of God come out more, it's more how He thinks. It becomes more what He wants. It's His perspective. And it starts becoming automatic. It starts becoming who you are. Because remember, Jesus said, what I want for them, Father, is what we have. I in you, and you in me. That's what Jesus wants for us. That fellowship with God cannot happen unless you are clean. You need to be clean, and that is only possible not through good behavior, not through church attendance, not through all sorts of good things you're doing out and feeding the poor. Those are good things. But you get to be in the presence of God because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which He paid for you by His death on the cross. Now on Wednesdays, we're having the series on teaching on the feasts and the offerings, what some of these sacrifices meant spiritually. See, they only did them physically because they were under the law. We are not under the law now. We are under grace. It's totally different. But those things back then that God developed weren't just ceremonial, traditional things he had a priesthood do. They were specific word pictures to show us today with God. Very powerful. So come on Wednesdays and listen to the things posted on that. But something above the ordinary. You see, we get locked in to what we can see and what we can measure and how we can feel about something. And that is such low level. That's Adam level. There are times, there's some things that are happening in all of our lives. I've got some family members that have lost their jobs, and these are professional people. I have a sister with a master's degree in public health, and the school system is letting the nurses go, and all this kind of stuff. So, but another job came out that, this is so amazing, but she went before the Lord and said, God, my life is yours. You know what my needs are, but also you know where you want me. Show me, Lord. Bring something my way. Let me know. And she had some irons in the fire and nothing was coming through. But she got a phone call and it was some mix-up was there, but it got all straightened out. And she has now got a job that pays twice what she was making at the school system. Whoa! Whoa! She called me in tears and said the greatness of God. This was the first thing out of her mouth. Not look at me and how my education helped me and they're hiring me as a local expert. This had nothing to do with her, and God can be free with her. God wants to be free with us. He wants to be able to come in and out and move us and have us do what he needs. I'm not saying everyone's going to get a job tomorrow that pays twice what you used to have. I'm just saying this is what God is manifesting in her life. I had another sister. I still have another sister. I have a number of them, number of sisters and brothers. But this other sister, very difficult. This is the youngest one of the litter, and very difficult situation with her husband being out of the picture, and a lot of sadness and hardship with that on his part, and alcoholism, just all sorts of stuff. No sustenance for her. Their smallest child that's still there with her, and just very, very difficult. She was sustaining herself by watching children, but that wasn't getting to be enough without the other support coming in. So she just was crying out before the Lord, show me, show me, show me. And she happened to put in some things. She has her degrees and things, and just absolutely amazing. She called me the other day in tears, like it was like 2 days later, from my other sister, and she said, how great God is. And I'm going, yeah, I know, what's going on? She says, I got the job, executive director of a home for unwed mothers. Oh, I'm so excited for her. She was so built for this. She herself as a young girl was an unwed mother. And yet she went through all the hardship she had to. And she got her a degree and went on to that. And just, oh, bless her heart. And now this has come her way. And it's ministry. Both of them are looking at it as God can use me. Even though I have to do some physical work, even though it's a job I have, I'm excited about what God's going to do through me. Because their access to so many people is there. Well, I tell you, how powerful. So you've got to be open for the extraordinary, something above the ordinary. That's what God, he's like, just like when if you're any of the parents here, or anyone that's any parent that's listening, you get more joy when your kid is opening up some birthday present. You are more excited than they are because you know what's in there and your love has done that and sustained it. You are more excited than them. God is so excited to give us good gifts, but we stop him at every turn because we do what we think. We do what we want. We don't seek him. We have sin that interferes with us in God. Oh, get it all away. Enter into the abundant life in Christ. Oh, something above the ordinary. Expect, think out of the box. That's what God does. Yet we don't know his box. We just say, God, I am at your mercy. Help me on this route. Keep things going. Powerful, powerful, powerful things that are going on. And then another one. Hooper Bole, Hooperbole, or whatever, I'm not sure on the exact pronunciation of that. That is called a throwing beyond. This is what the abundance means of God. A throwing beyond. It means exceedingly. It means beyond measure. Whoa! beyond measure. We can't even measure the wonderful abundance in God. Now, He's more interested in your character than your comfort. So we kind of have to get that straight up front. So there's going to be some trials that come our way because God, the stuff that's in us is kind of nasty like black tar sometimes. And the longer we've been in that mess, you know, it's really good to come to know the Lord early because you got less of that tar you got to deal with. You might think it was fun that some of the adults, oh, you can go have your fun. You can seek God now because you've had your fun. No. That was black tar that God now has to remove in a serious manner, which means it's going to be harder and your trials are going to be more and deeper. So we don't want to be doing that. We want to be clean before the Lord. We want to have this exceeding abundance in God. We don't want to interfere. You can expect God to bless you. You can expect God to love you. You can expect it. It's in His promises. So powerful. And then parousio has a meaning to be abundantly furnished. Whoa! Now, the natural man looking that automatically says, great! That means cars and money and vacations and travel and a couple of homes and lots of clothes and money and fame. They're looking at it all the wrong way. You may have that, but there's very few that God, you can get that yourself, but there's very few God has given that to, because the Adam nature has a tremendous difficulty in not getting puffed up and selfish and greedy. There's many a common person that has won the lottery. There's even a show or something on TV about how my life has changed. Puffed up and arrogant, doing what? And what are they doing with their money? They're buying yachts and taking trips and going nuts, all consuming it on the flesh. I'm not coming against them. Give anyone here $1 million. You may consume it a little on your flesh. I'm just saying, get yourself spiritually right with God. Don't look to that. There's very few people God can entrust with that type of riches, because those riches have a tendency to turn you into something that is not godly. Even if you start out right. You don't have, can you imagine? $3 million in your bank account? When are you going to be seeking God for your provision? How are you going to get close to God? I think it would be even harder to have a whole bunch of money, because you would be out there helping people, most of us in here. You wouldn't be consuming it upon yourself too much. You would be out helping, but guess what? We might be doing that in the wrong place. God might want that person to lose their house. Not as punishment, but because He's going to get something out of them and something put in them by going through that hardship. And then He'll take care of them later and get them reestablished and do whatever. We'd be interfering more than cooperating. Dangerous. So there's very few people that God can entrust with those riches. So don't go praying foolishly here. Now, most of us don't have to be concerned with that. Most of us try to make paycheck to paycheck here and those kind of things. But to be abundantly furnished. So when you're looking at God, don't make that comparison and say, God doesn't love me and God doesn't pay attention to me because I don't have much. There's people that are in Korea. There's people that are in communist countries. There's people that are in the Middle East that are turning in droves. I heard something and that I was so excited. 75,000 people a day are coming to salvation in Jesus Christ. Most of them, guess where? Not New York City or San Francisco or Los Angeles or Washington, D.C., where all the big bucks are. It's in Africa. They have nothing. They are dying as fast as they're being saved. Hallelujah! The direct route. Whoa! They have nothing and they're turning to God because He is the good news. This world is not all there is. They have no life and they're starting to understand this is nothing. It's 110 years on this planet. It's like a blink of an eye. Eternity is facing us. Where are you going if you died today? Do you know that God has a plan for you? Do you know where you would go? Some people call it very brazen when I say, I know I'm going to heaven, and it has nothing to do with me. Jesus Christ gave the gift of salvation. By His grace and mercy, I came to that understanding, not of myself. And because of His righteousness, I will get there. Do I sin sometimes? Yeah, kicked that stupid blower yesterday. God's not going to hold that against me. There's not some list of you do the goods and you do the bads and whoever has the longest good lift gets there. No! Are you washed by the blood of the sacrifices, of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? His death on the cross is what is your entrance into heaven. That is what needs to be established in our heart. And then you begin the journey clean. You're going to foul up just like a little kid. You give them a bath, they go out and play in the dirt, you got to give them a bath again. They don't stop being your kid because they got dirty. God's there to help clean us up. Repentance and forgiveness cleans us up and keeps us in line for the great abundance of God. How can we complain that we lack when God has promised so much? Our flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. And it is powerful. And if you don't get that tiger tamed, it is going to be running you around by the tail your whole life. Without the things that we want, we feel in need, abandoned, life is unfair, where is God? Now, there's abundance in the Lord. And you can see that in your handouts. There's abundance in the Lord. Now, also on a part of your handout is the scriptures. And I typed them up so that we could go through them because I want to get them all in. And what I was wondering is, I'm just going to come around to you, and you have a handout there that has the scriptures written out. So if you could just go ahead and read the first one. It talks about abundance in God. Psalm 36:8. No, it's on your handout. On your handout? Nope. If you'll turn the page. Nope, if you'll turn the page. I have typed out the scripture for you.
Sorry.
Psalm 36:8, abundance in God. Now, this is the message from God. I'm not just interpreting it myself or coming up with something. We have abundance in God, and when God promises and when God speaks, we have it.
Psalm 36:8, they drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and thou dost give them to drink of the river of thy delights.
Whoa, I like that. I like that. John 10:10.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly.
Oh, that adversary, he's got the nasty. That's the nasty. He is separate from God, so he became, in his disobedience, in that spiritual plane that he lived in as an angel or a messenger of God, in his separation from God, he then automatically, without any recourse for change, because he was in the spiritual realm, he became everything God isn't. So it's not this like he feels angry. He is anger. It's not that he feels hatred. He is hatred. He is murder. He is lust. All of these things that are going on this earth is because people have not fought the sin nature and come under Jesus Christ. And when they start doing this on their own nature, that's like a sign. It says rebellion. It says witchcraft. And witchcraft doesn't mean some stupid Hollywood presentation of some witch in a black hat stirring up a pot of oil. Rebellion is as witchcraft, God says. And witchcraft is a call to evil spirits. That's what the original word means. When you rebel, when you disobey God, it's not only your own nature in its lower condition that gets you in trouble. It's an actual call. So if you're lying, a spirit of lies is going to come by and enhance the evil. If you're hating, a spirit of hatred is going to come by. No matter what you're stuck in or addicted to or whatever it is that's in our human behavior with that Adam nature, once we decide to do that and make that decision to come against what God says, that spirit of that same thing is called to you. You're not purposely calling them out. They're like sharks that smell blood in the water. You got wounded in the sin realm, and they're going to come your way. So that hatred is going to be so enhanced that you're not going to be able to put it down. That lust is going to be so powerful, you won't be able to put it down. But you come to Jesus Christ, and you break the bonds of sin. That's abundance. You have abundance in that life. How extremely powerful our God is. That's what we're talking about. Now, this abundance in 2 Corinthians 9:8.
And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed.
Whoa. You may have what? An abundance for every good deed. I can't forgive that person. I can't love that person. I can't stand that person. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't stop this. I can't put that away. Wait a minute. You'll have an abundance from God for every good work? Whoa. So guess what? Even your good works aren't your good works.
That's why they need to be led by the Spirit of God, because the pagans are out there doing good works. Atheists are feeding the poor. Atheists are out there, those who don't believe God, those who are stuck in false religions. They're building orphanages. They're doing good works. Those are good works that are going to burn. Even a Christian can have good works that are going to burn, meaning it came from the Adam nature and not the spirit nature. Because when God has us do a physical thing, it always has a spiritual component to it. Ours is just physical. You make a pie, you deliver the pie, the person eats it, there you go. It was good, they felt good. And you felt holy. Oh, God said, I don't want you to feel holy, I want you to be holy. So live your life looking to the Lord. Now that's going to be hard, because when you see a person in need, you're going to want to jump on it right away. You say, God, just help me out here. Now if someone calls you and says, I've got a flat tire, I mean, you don't need to spend 3 weeks in prayer and fasting to find out. If you can, you say, God, you know, I'm able to help here. Give me some time here, and I'll be glad to do that. If you can't, then you just need to tell someone, I can't, but I'll get a hold of someone who can help you. See, this is where the body of Christ and belonging and helping. But there's things that come up. Someone doesn't have their mortgage. They may be losing their house. What are you going to do? Cash in your 401k and pay off their house? Your family is now going to be depleted because you tried to save another one. That's what God's talking. It was a good work, but if it wasn't led by God, it's not going to do anything. But He gives us everything in abundance. Ephesians 3:20.
Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us.
Wow. He is able exceeding and abundantly to do all that is asked within us. Philippians 4:19.
And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Wait a minute now. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Well, that should make us feel a little bit more comfortable today, shouldn't it? Shouldn't we do that? I mean, we're talking about abundance in Christ. We're talking about what we had talked about earlier, fat. Thick, over the ordinary, unbelievable. 2 Peter 1:11.
For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you.
Whoa! You mean salvation is going to be abundantly supplied? Yes, it's there. You know, so many times I'm amazed because people say, I found God. And I go, yeah, right, you found God. He's over there screaming and yelling, hello, this way, I'm over here. Fireworks going off and all sorts of noisemakers and bands and all sorts of stuff carrying on. Absolutely unbelievable, I found God. Yeah, I think, you did. But I bless the Lord because He is going to supply it all for us. He is calling us. He doesn't want that anyone, from Adam up to today, billions of people, He doesn't want that anyone should perish. He's already laid out the framework. I'm not punishing any of you for what Adam did. But what Adam did separated all of mankind from me. I'm telling you, come back. I've made a way through Jesus. Earlier in the Old Testament, the way to keep God's wrath off of you was the obedience and the patriarchs and the law and the prophets and all of that. But that was only to hold all of the world until Jesus should come at that specifically timed event of His birth, timed by God, not by circumstance. When He came, and then He lived His life, and then He gave His life for us. A sacrifice was completed. Look at the word picture before God. A life has to be given up. Life was lost. We do that in our own society. It's called capital punishment. When you do something as horrendous as taking a life, very often the law requires you to give your own life. There is no punishment that could be superior to that. I'm not coming for or against capital punishment here in this particular comment. I'm just saying some things are so great. You know, just, you know, saying a couple of prayers and feeding a couple of homeless isn't going to make up for the lack. The only thing that was going to satisfy God and restore us to God is a life being given up, punishment. And it's really due. Someone steals my van, they're going to have to pay for that. Meaning time in jail or something.
You just can't do what you want. You can't take and destroy. Even our own society sees that. You have a debt to pay if you do something wrong. Now, we've done many things wrong. There is a debt to pay, but we are imperfect Adam nature people. We can never pay that debt. It's sort of like owing $700 trillion, like our country probably will in about 10 years. It's like owing $700 trillion and you bring home $200 a week. You do not have the capacity, even if you paid the whole $200 a week. You can't pay off that debt. We owe God a debt we can never pay. He knew that. He already planned to have the only worthy one, the only pure one, the only one without sin, to give up his life in order to restore us to God. So he does have life for us abundantly. He's not this horrible, wrathful God that has been presented by so many religions, by Christians and by other crazy religions. He's not a wrathful God up there waiting for you to make a mistake so he can put his thumb on you, so he can crush you. This is a loving God who talks about harmony, who talks about what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. The list is beautiful. It's what we all desire. It's deep within our soul, and yet we are lacking it because of the Adam nature. Your abundance is going to come by letting the Spirit of God in, by being hooked up with Jesus Christ and entering into salvation. And He has supplied it all. Abundant joys, abundant life, abundant grace, abundant power, abundant supplies, even an abundant entrance into life in Him. But as a result of sin and laziness, we have something else. We're going to have lack without God. We're going to have lack without God. This is not God. People say, well, why did God let this happen? Why did God let this happen? If I knew all that, man, I'd be writing books and selling them. I have written a book, and most of you have a copy of that, but I don't have those answers. No one on this planet can possibly have those answers. You don't have the capacity of God. None of us do. There's a great deal of mystery that's involved in this. And mystery helps your faith to grow. Because if you know it all, where's your belief in God? How are you going to let Him be the God? Now, God's not stupid and foolish to say, well, I'm going to hold this back and I'm going to... No! He just knows what we need individually. He knows how to handle our lives. And guess what? He even gives you free will. He loves you so much, He lets you choose. Because without choosing, you're just a robot. In obeying Him, you show Him you love Him. God said that Himself. If you say you love me and don't obey my commands, you're a liar. So God has this marvelous way. He wants His abundance to just pile up on us. And so many times, we don't. Now, when I talk about abundance, now I'm talking about this spiritual abundance. Because that's when it gets what's good. See, if you have spiritual abundance, you're going to have wisdom in your business decisions. If you have spiritual abundance, you're going to have wisdom in who you marry. Instead of trying to pray out of it later, and 25 years in the mess you're in, whatever. No! If you have spiritual abundance, you're going to make wise decisions educationally. If you have spiritual abundance, you're going to make wise choices physically. If you have spiritual abundance, you see, if you have spiritual abundance, if you have the Spirit of God ruling in you more than anything else, your decisions are not going to bring some of this stuff on you that we're going to cover here. This is the stuff we hate. This is the stuff we shake our fists at God. He goes, wait a minute, you're missing the point. It's sin, and sometimes it's laziness. It's this thing that has to do with the sin nature. It's laziness. Some people are faithful. Franny and I were here earlier. Franny's cleaning the bathrooms, I'm vacuuming the church, you know. And she goes, do you ever get tired of being faithful? I go, you know, honey, I wish it was another way, but, you know, this is what it is. But sometimes faithful people are born early in their life, especially those that are born into being larger families, or born into like tragedy or horror or something like that. Sometimes that very thing raises them up to be steadfast, to be dependable, to be the ones that God can call on to do some things. Franny, do you have a comment on that?
Yes, I corrected that. I said dependable.
Oh, okay, that's right. dependable. They get tired of being dependable. I said, well, it's not a matter of getting tired of it, it's just who you are. If you're not dependable, if you're not active, if you're not someone who finishes a project and all that stuff, where are you going to go? Go to God. He's the one who gives abundantly. If you lack faith, go to God. If you lack wisdom, go to God. If you lack health, go to God. He's the one who's the giver in all this abundance. We've gone to the wrong places first. Go to God first, and He'll lead you where He wants you to go. Now, it's a lack without God. In Deuteronomy 28, 47 and 48, He makes it clear. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things. And He will put an iron yoke on your neck until He has destroyed you. Whoa! Now that's if you stay away from Him. In reading that, I go, you know, I don't think I care for that. You would think people would say, you know, this is a stupid choice. I don't want all that. Now, you may go through periods of trials that bring some of that on you, but in the Lord, you're going to get on the other side of that totally different and better. Just like I said, some of the people that are in their nakedness and thirst and hunger, they're not coming against God. They're coming to Him because He gives them this unique way of being refreshed. They're sitting in their famine-torn shacks and lives that they have over there, and something bright is in them. Something different is in them. This is out of the ordinary. I don't feel bad anymore. I don't have that bad perspective. God is in charge. He is either going to deliver me from the horror of this crummy life I'm in, seeing my children die from starvation and diseases all abounding, or I'm going to die a natural life and I'm going to be with Him. This is a great situation, and each one of us in here who've been through that, there's times when it's been so bad in your life, the money's been gone, the health has been gone, the friends have been gone, whatever it is that's going, that you are at the lowest point of your life, if you are connected with the living God in a real sense, there's something inside of you that doesn't go away. And it's a strength, and it's a power, and it's a difference, and you can't explain it. You're not running around going, oh, life is so funny. You're not doing that, but something inside, there's a security there that doesn't let go. And you can hold on to that. You can say, I don't have something now, but by God's grace and abundance I will. I don't know. It's almost better. When all this tragedy and disaster and everything goes on, for the Christian, it should be a hilarious situation, but not from the laughing standpoint, but from the standpoint, this is so ridiculously unbelievable. There's no way that I can fix this. But You can, God. So it should be a time when we can say, God, this is going to take a miracle and I rejoice. There's many things we can do with our hands to help and fix, and that's good. But there's certain times in our lives, the only thing that's going to make the difference is really a miracle. And two of my sisters got miracles in this jobless society. They got miracles that came their way. But they haven't just known the Lord for a while. They have gone through tragedy. They have gone through triumph and tragedy and triumph and tragedy and triumph. But they're sticking with the Lord. They're into daily devotions and prayer and praise and giving up their life. It doesn't mean they don't cry. It doesn't mean they don't have doubts. It doesn't mean there isn't confusing times. But through it all, the abundance in God is ruling and is reigning. And in Proverbs, lack without God. He says, now this is something, I'll tell you. So a lot of people, our society has made a wrong turn in what it's doing. It's giving away free money to people who do not have to earn it. That is so dead wrong. We should be providing only for those that are disabled and cannot work. We should be providing help for those, anyone who's in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down, someone who has all sorts of things that are wrong, and ML, all this, you know, multiple sclerosis, I mean, all sorts of things chronic illnesses, all this kind of stuff, they're debilitated. My gosh, that's who we should be taking care of. I don't mind sending a special nurse and caregivers to them. I don't mind paying for their rent and their electric and whatever. I don't mind that. Our society should be taking care of these little babies and taking care of the elderly. And we can't, because we are mailing checks right now to 25-year-olds who are cashing it that day and snorting it up their nose for their drugs. We are making foolish decisions because our country has gone away from God and does not have its wisdom. You look at some of the laws that were made previously. There were laws that had standards in it. There were sodomy laws even in our country, for crying out loud. There are the laws that have all sorts of restrictions on your behavior because they understood if you don't have a spiritual strength in you, then you're going to need some sort of a fence around here. And now what we've had is this infusion of immorality by removing all the fences. The fences are not to fence you in. They are to keep you away from the alligators and the lions and the tigers and the bears. And we've missed that viewpoint and point. But God keeps telling us over and over again. Now look, this particular scripture, it says in Proverbs 6, 10 and 11, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. I've been there, done that. I've helped people that are just insistent in not working. And they're in their 20s, but they've grown up in this culture of no one in their home has worked. No one has finished school. How can we ever expect a change from them? You help them make out a form. You help them get the job. You drive them over to Arby's in the morning. They call you 3 days later and say, I got fired. You go, what? Well, my boss wanted me to come in earlier. I go, yeah, key word here is boss. Key word is you're working. They decide when you come in. Another one calls me and says, well, I'll go fired after a week. How would you go fired after a week? Well, I had a headache. I didn't come in. If you're puking, honey, you bring the bag with you. You got to go to work. I can remember as a little kid, I got a bellyache, mommy. She goes, so it'll work its way out on the way to school. Go ahead, honey. How many of us had that? This tending and doting and carrying on, everything for your pleasure and comfort has led us to the point here. Your Adam nature is geared only toward your pleasure and comfort. It is geared only toward you, not anyone else. The Spirit of God is not geared toward you, it's geared toward Him. And in that, He can then work through you and get through you less hindered every single day. And in that, you're going to have that abundance. You're going to have those abilities. But there's going to be lack, a little sleep, a little slumber. Oh my gosh, don't do that. I'm not talking about being a workaholic. I'm talking about people. They don't have because they've not put into it. They don't work. You watch, I go nuts. They're out there raking. They're leaving every leaf, and they put one swipe, and there's, you know, just common things like that. If you're not faithful in little things, you won't be faithful in the big things. And they rake, and then they empty the trash, and they drag the bag all the way to the street, and they're leaving a trail of garbage behind them. Do they pick it up? No. You see them, they're walking through the mall or something, they're eating a candy bar, they throw the trash right on the ground. Or I'm driving down the street, and I see them, I throw a can out the door, you know, of the truck. Who do you think is going to clean up after you? See, this is a sin nature attitude that has everything to do with you and nothing with everyone else. In Deuteronomy 28, 58 to 67, if you'll hold on, we'll be finishing up here in just a moment. This is kind of lengthy, but it's a lot of verses, but I want to read it. It's so powerful what's going to happen in terms of if you don't come along with the Lord. This isn't God being that mean, wrathful God now. He's just saying, you're over here where you're open to all the horrible things of life. Come to me and get that spiritual abundance, which will assist you in not making so many bad decisions. Because every one of us, if we're really brutally honest with ourselves, are going to look and they're going to realize a lot of the things that have been not very good happened in our lives have happened because we've made some very bad mistakes. We've made some very poor decisions that are sin nature decisions. Or someone else has done that against us. It's all based on sin. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants. I see that with the crack babies. Sad, sad, sad. Even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. We have plagues of chronic sicknesses. Sin-sick people are passing on sicknesses too.
And he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. Then you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you did not obey the Lord your God. He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to his chosen people. But because we're his chosen people, because he doesn't want anyone to perish, we have to listen to this message today. And it shall come about, verse 63, that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you, and you shall be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, which they did, and which many people today do, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known. They serve the gods of money, the gods of alcohol, the gods of drugs, the gods of sex and lust. They serve the gods of this earth. And among those nations you shall find no rest, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall be in dread day and night, and shall have no assurance of your life. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't want a life like that for me, and I don't want a life like that for you. So powerful. There is lack without God. I'm not going to end with that. We're going to end with the abundance of God. But this lack, it goes on in Job 15:20. The wicked man writhes in pain all his days, and numbered are the years stored up for the ruthless. It doesn't look like that right now. A lot of our young people are looking to the athletes of the day and the rich entertainers of the day, and I'll tell you, it's just foul what's going on in their lives, but you just don't see it. But you see them killing themselves, overdoses with drugs. You see them divorce after divorce. Their children are messed up. They're messed up. All the things that look like abundance of the earth are killing them. And God says, the wicked man writhes in pain all his days, and numbered are the years stored up for the ruthless. Romans 2:9, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, meaning the Gentiles, those who aren't Jewish. Romans 3:16, destruction and misery are in their path. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding produces favor. The way of the treacherous is hard. Now, some people have only concentrated on those scriptures. They've only looked on that. They just think of this wrathful God. All God is trying to do is give us a perspective. Nothing unclean can enter into the presence of God. That's all he's trying to tell us. Get clean through Jesus Christ, and you will enter into the abundance of God. Instead of all those things we just listed, you'll have abundance in God. And you're going to have that abundance in joys, abundant in life, abundance in grace, abundance in power, abundance in the supplies you need, and abundance in salvation in Jesus Christ. What a God we serve. Now, some days we're going to be crying. We're going to be complaining about something. I've done my share. Oh God, how come this, how come that? And you know something? One of the things that's a bedrock reason for this is that we look to the right or the left. We see someone who has more than we do, and we start wanting it. Or we see someone who has less than we do, and we start getting puffed up how good we are. He said in the scripture, don't do that. Don't look to the right, don't look to the left, look straight ahead to the living God. And He will fill us completely. Abundant life in God. So stop your whining, stop your complaining. When I teach the cadets over at the base, I have this little PowerPoint. One of the pictures on there has a big picture, has the word whining, and has one of those circles with the little line through it. No whining. No whining. We do that. If I start whining and you're around, remind me. Pray for me. Pray for each other. No whining. We have abundance in God. God bless you.